1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have been looking at the resurrection, and 1 Corinthians 15, Paul spends the entire chapter talking about the resurrection. We've looked at the different... Did you lose me? Okay, you just switched the microphone. That's all right. All right, we've been looking at the different things that Paul says about the resurrection. The people in Corinth, many of the believers in Corinth, and we don't doubt they were believers, but they had a hard time with the fact of the resurrection. Now, you want to say, I have no problem with the resurrection, but you do. I could ask you some questions about the resurrection that I'm pretty sure you couldn't give me an answer to. Now, you might be a Bible scholar above the rest of us, so maybe you can, but there are some things about the resurrection I don't understand and you don't understand. We just simply accept it because we know it's true. When we come to the point where we only believe what we understand, we become no better than an atheist, an agnostic, or a cult. Because that's what they do. They only believe what they can understand. The Jehovah's Witnesses cannot understand the concept of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, yet three in one. They can't understand that. So because you can't understand it or explain it in logical terms, they throw it out the window. We can't do that. The Mormons will do the same thing with the Trinity of God. And so we don't just believe the things we understand. We believe the things God says and then count it that one of these days we'll have it figured out. And the resurrection is one of those things. There's a lot of things about it we don't understand, but we simply believe it because the Bible declares it to be true. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're beginning in verse 42 tonight. We actually finished the first half of verse 42, went with the previous verses. So we'll read all of verse 42, but we're going to pick up really at the last half of it and then go down through verse 49. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer tonight as we begin. Now, Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for a Sunday night that we can come together and look at your word and, Father, be educated. And Lord, not just be educated to fill our minds, but Father, our hearts with understanding, with love, with appreciation, Father, for all that you've done for us, not just in eternity, but Father, what you've done for us right now to equip us, not only for eternity, but for life right now. And so we pray you take your word and make it a blessing to each and every one. Father, give us something tonight to chew on, something from the word of God that would satisfy our spiritual soul. And Father, give us something that would help us sometime during the week that's before us. Bless your word to each and every heart. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at 1 Corinthians 15 this evening, I want you to understand this. Your resurrection body will be better than your present body. Your resurrection body will be better than your present body. Now, there are some folks today working so hard on the present body, they're not really wanting to trade it in. They're spending so much work on this body, getting it fit and getting it perform right, they just as soon keep on to that one, but you're not going to keep the body you've got. The body you've got is going to be put into the ground when you're dead. Now, can I go back to balance this morning? I believe in balance. I believe in taking care of your body because it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God has entrusted you with this casing you live in right now, and you're not to abuse it or misuse it. But at the same time, you don't need to go hog wild and spend all your time worried about how this body looks and building it up and all that kind of stuff. Don't be obsessed with it. There's got to be a balance to it. And understand that the body you've got one day is going to be put into the ground and it's going to decay. And I could be more explicit in saying what it's going to be, but we won't do that tonight. But just to tell you, it's going to have an end. But there is a part of you that's going to live forever. That's the part you need to be working on. That's the part you need to be focused on. That's the part that the world ignores. It's all about the body. Look at the commercials. Look at the advertisements. Go for all the gusto you can. Enjoy life. Live one day at a time. All this thing is built for this body. And they're not thinking about the soul that dwells in it and eternity.
Back in Genesis chapter 2, we read about God creating Adam. Adam made him out of the dust of the ground. Well, you ever seen your kids or grandkids making a sand castle down at the beach or somewhere, and they're putting all that sand together? That's what God did when he created us. He simply made a big sand castle or a sand man and made him in the ground in the form of a human being. And then he came over and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I think of that every time I see one of these weird-looking characters that they use for advertisement, those inflatable things with the goofy arms that come out like that and the head. When I see one of those things flapping around like that, I think it's got breath in it. And then someday you drive by and there it is laying on the ground. All right, there's nothing in it. Well, that's the way Adam was. He was nothing laying on the ground, and God breathed into him. He inhaled into him, and he filled his lungs with life, and man became a living soul. Paul is now talking about the day that we cast off this physical body and our soul lives forever. I don't understand, again, all the things about the resurrection, because I know this. The minute a saved person takes their last breath on earth, they take their next breath in heaven. I know that much. I got no problem with that. Paul said, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I know that as a resurrection, that is the second coming, the Lord comes back from heaven with a shout, the dead in Christ are raised, and then we which are alive and remain are caught up to meet him. So those that have already died in the Lord, their bodies are going to be caught up at the resurrection, and their bodies are going to be slapped together with their soul that's already in heaven, and they're going to. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The question is, what are they living in right now? Those souls that are in heaven, if they're not in their bodies, the body doesn't come to rest. What's encasing them right now? What is the pre-resurrection body? After death, before the resurrection, what are they living in? You know what the answer to that is? I have no idea. All right, again, there's some things about the resurrection. I don't have it all figured out. I just know what the Bible says. And a lot of folks get confused because if they can't understand it, they don't believe it. And there are folks to this day that believe, well, when you die, you go down on the ground and you wait the resurrection. And you stay in the cold, damp, dark ground until the trumpet sounds and you come up. And then there's one big resurrection, and God separates the wheat from the goats, the chaff from the wheat. Did I say that right? He separates those things. That's not the way it works. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a saved person dies, their soul goes immediately into the presence of God. When a lost person dies, their soul goes immediately into a place called hell. Then there's a resurrection for the redeemed. We won't get into the theology of the lost person in hell not needing a body, but the saved, the redeemed, are resurrected and their bodies come back one day. And so we're looking forward to that resurrection day, and that's what Paul's writing about here when he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He talks about that resurrection. I want you to notice two things tonight, and I'll be short. All right? There. That's the only shortness I can promise you. We'll see how it goes. Two things I want you to get in these verses we're looking at. Verse 42 to verse 44, I want you to see the dignity of the resurrection. The dignity of the resurrection. You understand? There is something better coming. Right now is not our time for dignity in this body of flesh. But there is a change coming to this body where there is a time of dignity coming. So verse 42 to 44 is the dignity of the resurrection. Verse 45 to 49 is the demonstration. The demonstration of the resurrection. We're going to talk about these two things this evening. Look, if you would, at verse number 42. Again, we're starting in the second half of the verse because the first half of verse 42 went with the last message, the last lesson we had. So speaking about the body, it says, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. God is going to restore dignity to this body like he made in the Garden of Eden. You realize when God made Adam, he made him in the image of God. Now, in a sense, we're made in the image of God, but really we're made in the image of Adam. Because Adam was in the image of God, but he lost that image. That image got defaced when he sinned in the garden. And no longer are his progeny, no longer are his future generations made in the image of God, though he was made, and you understand what I'm saying, but we are in the image of Adam now. But one of these days, God is going to restore dignity to that original creation and make us like Adam was before he fell in the garden. And you and I have no idea what that body's going to be like. We can talk about Jesus after his resurrection, walking in the rooms when the windows and doors were shut and all that kind of stuff, and being in one place one second, another place another second. That's what we've got to look forward to, but we really can't comprehend the glory, the dignity of that resurrected body that you one day are going to be in possession of because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 42. God will change this body of decay. God will change this body of decay. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Folks, you understand, the minute a baby is born, it's on its way to the grave. Now, we enjoy the first 18, 19, 20 years. It's kind of an uphill thing going on there. 20 to 40, kind of a status quo. And everything after 40 is going back down the hill. All right, we understand that there is a time from 0 to 20 or, you know, approximately in that age where things look like they're getting better. But you know, a baby that's just freshly born already has something in it dying. There are already blood cells that are dying. That's the way the body's made, the way it performs. You know that didn't happen to Adam before the fall in the garden. Nothing in his body died. Nothing had to regenerate itself to make it continue living. It was a perfect body. But our bodies now made in the image of fallen Adam now from very birth begin to decay. They're on the road to the end. We hope that road's a long road. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not so long. But the bodies begin to decay. It's sown in corruption. Now, that corruption is not spiritual or worldly corruption. We're not talking about the vices of the world and the sins that are around us. We're talking about the body itself. It is sown in corruption. This body is decaying. Now, that doesn't make the body bad. We need to be careful about that. There's the monistic orders and all that, flagellate, or do all those things to the body. They think the body's bad. It's not the body of the bad. It's the body that's bad. We're just going to see the body is weak. It has no resistance to sin because it's in the image of Adam, not the image of God. But one of these days, this corruption is going to be raised in incorruption. See, right now, the body is destined for the grave. But the resurrection body is going to be destined for glory. That's the difference in the body. That's a change that God is going to make in the body that we have. Notice verse number 53 in this same chapter. We'll cover it on a future Sunday night. But notice verse 53. For this corruptible, talking about this body right here, this corruptible must put on incorruption. We are one day going to have a body that is designed. God's going to change it and make it a body fit, engineered, designed for glory. But right now, it's a body designed for the grave. Your body is designed to wear out. You know why? Because God doesn't want your body to live forever because it's not in the image of God. Had Adam not sinned, oh, the story would be so different. Now, some other human down the line would have sinned anyway, so we can't put it all on Adam. But had he not sinned, if sin hadn't entered in, that body that he was created, it would have remained in the image of God and lived forever. But when sin entered in, it corrupted the body of flesh. And God said, the soul that sinned, it shall die. God said, I don't want that body around forever. I want that body to decay. I want it to go downhill. I want it to fall apart. And boy, does it. And so we live in a body. God will change this body of decay. He's going to one day give it some dignity. Notice second of all in verse 43, God will change this body of dishonor. In verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. He'll change this body of decay. He'll change this body of dishonor. We have a body right now that's clogged in lust. If we'll be honest, we've got a body that's clogged in lust. You have to make yourself do right. And it's very easy to do wrong. You know what our main word is to children? We had our granddaughter Adelaide here last night and today. You know what the main word is when you're teaching kids? No. Don't. Don't touch that. Don't do that. Don't go there. No. And they get to be teenagers and they think that's the only word we know. We're saying no, no. You know why? Because the body is geared. It's clogged with lust. Paul said about that body, the things that I would not do, that's what I do. And the things I want to do, those are the things I don't do. That was a saved man saying this. Why? Because in this body, we're clogged with lust. But one of these days, in that body of dishonor, it's going to be clothed in light. It's going to be clothed in light. We're going to have a body no longer clogged in lust.
No longer weighing us down. No longer burdening us. No more temptations to sin. No more yielding to wickedness and ungodliness. None of the things that go on in our life, that the sins that so easily beset us, one of these days are all going to be cleaned out when we get that new body. We're going to have some dignity, folks. I don't want to lower your self-esteem, but right now you and I just have no grounds for dignity. We are in the body of a flesh, and God is going to change the body of decay. He's going to change the body of dishonor. I read the story of the butterfly, and I'm not a great science guy, so don't quote me on this stuff. But I understand the caterpillar, and I understand how he goes out on that limb and spins that silk thing, that little cocoon that he crawls into, and a metamorphosis. All right, there's your $5 word tonight. The metamorphosis takes place, and after a certain amount of time, that thing that went in there, that caterpillar that went in, comes in as a big, beautiful butterfly. You know what God has done in that illustration? He's given us a picture of our resurrection body. Right now, we're that caterpillar. Right now, we're that thing that just, what is it? You know, step on it. Get rid of it. It's ugly. We're in that body, but one of these days, it's going to be a butterfly. It's going to spread its wings. It's going to show its beauty. That's going to be our resurrection body. Right now, it's in dishonor. One of these days, it's going to be in honor. Right now, it's clogged in lust. One of these days, it'll be clothed in light. That's the promise you and I have in Christ. Can we draw the line? Saved, lost, and the things we're talking about are true of saved people. One of these days, for the saved, for the redeemed, for the blood-bought, we're going to experience all these changes. But for the lost, there is no hope. All these promises of God, all these wonderful things of the resurrection are only applicable to the redeemed of the Lord. We've got reason to praise God. We've got reason to shout. We've got reason to say amen, because God's going to do these things for us. He's going to restore dignity to this fallen body. Notice verse 43, if you would. The second half of the verse. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. God will change this body of disability. This body of disability. Now you say, preacher, wait a minute. I don't have a disability. I don't use a wheelchair. I don't have to park in handicapped parking. I don't have a disability. I've got news for you tonight. You do have a disability because you have a feeble body. Everybody in this room at one time or another has gotten sick. At one time or another, and with this season coming on us, this winter time and the change in temperatures and all that, the throats start going wild, the noses start running. And our bodies are just designed. Again, they're designed in this life. They're supposed to wear out. God doesn't want us to live forever in this body. And so you and I live in a body of disability. We live in a feeble body. Peter, James, and John, when Jesus took them into the Garden of Gethsemane and said, tarry here and pray. I'm going to go yonder. And Jesus went forward and he prayed, and after a little while came back. You know what Peter, James, and John were doing, don't you? They were sleeping. Because they wanted to sleep? They wanted to fail God? They wanted to disappoint the Lord? Absolutely not. But you know what happened? Their bodies were feeble. Their bodies that they were in had a disability, and they couldn't strengthen it. They couldn't get through it. And they fell asleep on the job. They fell asleep on duty because our bodies are feeble. But he's going to take this feeble body, according to verse number 43, and raise it in power, make it a flawless body. Can you imagine a flawless body? I could go lots of places in that. I'm not even going to go. But no more care for the body. No more daily maintenance on the body. No more worrying about the failures of the body. I've said this so many times. Now I get out of bed and my feet hit the floor, I'm just saying, okay, what hurts today? It's not a matter of if it's going to. It's just where is it going to be? The shoulder, the arm, the back, the leg? What's it going to be today? This body is feeble, but one of these days, God's going to give us a flawless Bible. He's given us that. He's going to give us a flawless body. And it's going to be a body without disability. God's going to change this body, and we're going to have a body that never gets old. And a body that never gets sick. And a body that never gets tired. A body that never trips and falls. A body that never stumbles. We're going to have that kind of body because God has promised it to us in the resurrection. This body's going to have some dignity. You realize when our body, you know, I like to think of myself as being 30 years old.
And when I don't look in the mirror, I can convince myself I'm 30 years old. Because I'm feeling good physically, better than I've felt in years. I'm able to do things now I haven't been able to do in a long time. I'm doing pretty good. And sometimes I get thinking I'm 30 years old, but then every once in a while I go to the mirror to shave. And I realize it's only in my mind and only in my dreams that I'm that age any longer, because our bodies are designed to decay. And there's no dignity in them. I'm always amazed. We went to a preacher's meeting on Tuesday up in Akron. I got a little card with the advertisement of the preachers who are going to be there. And one of the guys is somebody I graduated from college with in 1980. And the picture was on there. When I saw his picture, I thought, wow, he hasn't aged a bit. He looks as good as he did back in 1980. You know, when I saw him, I realized why. They used his 1980 picture when they made the little advertisement and put it out there. We don't stay the same. We don't go with that. We all change over time. We've got a body that's going downhill, a body of decay, dishonor, disability. Verse 44, it's a body of depravity. He's going to change this body of depravity. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. And there is a spiritual body. See, we have a human body right now. And that human body has been designed for life in this world. But we're going to get a heavenly body in the future. A body that's been designed for that world. See, flesh and blood cannot inherit that world. The body you live in right now is not fit for heaven. It couldn't exist there. I mean, if you went to heaven in the body you got right now, the instant you entered in, if you could even get close to entering in, your body would disintegrate from the power of God. It's not designed for that world. It's designed for down here. That's why we have so much trouble with it. Because it's a fallen body designed for here. But one of these days, it's going to be changed. One of these days, it's going to have something take place like that metamorphosis that takes place of that caterpillar in the... I was reading about how it puts its exoskeleton off. And there's a chemical change that takes place in that creature that when it transforms from that thing. Well, you and I are going to go through that transformation. There's going to be a chemical change in the makeup of our body and our DNA when we put off the old body and put on the new. That's going to happen at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God will change this body. We're going to see the dignity of the resurrection. Then secondly, verse 45 to verse 49, we see the demonstration. The demonstration of the resurrection. In verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That takes us back to Genesis chapter 2. I believe it's verse number 15, verse 8, where God breathed into Adam the breath of life and man became a living soul. There was no man before Adam. He was the first one. And God made his body from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He was a design of God. Now, the animals were not designed from the dust of the ground. God just spoke them into existence. God never breathed into them the breath of life. They never became a living soul. So we obviously could not have come from animal life. Because the design was completely different. You can't cross one to the other. So we know that we were made strictly by the hand of God and designed by Him. And now He gives us in verse 45 a new lesson. A new lesson in verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Adam was made a living soul, but he killed it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Adam's sin affected Adam. And it affected everybody after Adam. Because as sin entered into the world, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. As by one man sin entered into the world, that was by Adam. And so that transgression he committed has passed on to all the future generations. And we're all sinners because we're all in Adam. But now there is a new lesson, verse 45. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. You know what quickening means? It means to be made alive. So everything that died in that first Adam can be made alive in the second Adam. Everything that died in the Adam of creation, physical, can be made alive, quickened by the second Adam, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the only way to be made alive, you're already dead. Every human being, every baby that's born is born dead. Now, not dead physically, we're understanding that body, but dead spiritually, not in fellowship, not in communion with God. And that baby is born there. And it has to come into a relationship with God that he or she is born again and quickened by the Spirit of God. And when that quickening takes place, we go from the last Adam, or the first Adam, to the last Adam. It's a new lesson. There are folks today trying to make that change. You see why it's so clear in the Bible that nothing that a human being does themselves can save them? There are too many things that have to be done to get into heaven for a person to be able to do it themselves. Folks that say, well, I'm working my way to heaven. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. None of those things can take you out of the first Adam and put you in the last Adam. The Ten Commandments are not a quickening spirit. The church itself is not a quickening spirit. The preacher or the priest is not a quickening spirit. Your good works are not quickening spirit. The only thing that's a quickening spirit is the second Adam. And we're going to identify him in verse 47 in just a moment. But you know who he is. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a new lesson. We get out of the old Adam and into the new Adam by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 48, there's a new list. Excuse me, verse 46. There's a new list. In verse 46, howbeit that which was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. All right, the first man Adam was made naturally. He was made a human body. He was made in the flesh. Then after came the new birth. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. We are born physically into this world. We need to be born spiritually. The first was physical. You can't be born again until you're born the first time. Doesn't that make sense? You can't be born again if you've never been born. So born again is for living, breathing people. And once you're born physically, you have the need of being born again spiritually. And there are multitudes and millions of people that are born into this world and go through life for 10, 20, 50, 70, 80, 100 years and are never born again and die in a body designed for this world. So when it dies, it can't go to the next because it's never been redesigned. It's still corruptible. And it goes into the grave, and the soul goes back to the devil who is the father of it. We've got to be born again. There's a new list. That which was natural was first. That which is spiritual is second. We've got to be born again. A new list. Verse 47, a new Lord. Verse 47, a new Lord. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Can I tell you that a person that says they're an atheist and they don't believe in God, he's not telling the truth. They believe in a God. Person says, I'm an agnostic. I don't know if God... You know what? They believe in a God. The only problem is their God is themselves. Because they only believe what they allow to come into their mind. Here are you and I over here. We believe in a supreme being. We believe in a God that created everything. We simply believe what the Bible says to be true. We know what's out there, though we can't see it. Here's a person here that says, I don't believe any of that. Oh, that's just a bunch of hogwash. You know what? They are worshiping themselves. Their own intellect is their God. Their own discernment is their God. Their own ability to think and reason things out is what is God to them. And the Bible tells us in verse number 47, it says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. Before you got saved, you had no resistance to sin. Before a man is born again, he's in a body that's corrupt. He's in a body that's vile. And he's going to do what this world dictates to him to do. He's going to watch the commercials on television, and go out and do what they tell him to do because he has no resistance to it.
He's going to watch the television shows and see what everybody, what they tell everybody what makes you happy. Here's how you can have a great life. Live like these people. Do what they're doing on television. Of course, most of them go out and kill themselves anyways. Go out and commit suicide. So that's not really a great pattern to follow. But they're saying, here's what you need to do. And the unsaved man simply says, all right, that's what life is all about. Let's tailgate. Let's party. Let's go do what we're supposed to do, because they have no resistance. But now we have a new Lord, verse 47. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now all the new Bibles take the two words, the Lord, out. But that's identifying who the man from heaven is. It's the Lord from heaven. We have a new Lord. We're no longer in the body of this flesh. Our flesh no longer dictates us. Now we've got somebody from heaven, and we know who that somebody from heaven is. It's not that angel that got kicked out back in Isaiah 14 or Ezekiel 28. It's the Lord from heaven that has come down, and now we have a new Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord now. The thing that differentiates us, one of the many things that differentiates us from the rest of the world, the rest of lost society, is we have a new Lord, and that's Jesus Christ. Verse 48, it gets better. Can it get better than having a new Lord? Verse 48, you've got a new life. Verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You know what happens when you get saved. You've experienced it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that doesn't mean at that point in time we never struggle, we're never tempted, we never falter, we never fail. But there's a change that takes place. I can go back to that day many years ago and that place where I remember in my mind, I remember, I know where I got saved. I know when and where it was that I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And I know a change took place. Sometimes we're talking to folks and say, do you know when you got saved? Do you remember the date? Do you remember the time? Do you remember the place? And they'll say, no, I don't remember. That's fine. You don't have to remember. You don't have to know the date, the time, and the place. But there should be a time in your life where you know that God entered in and made a change in your life. And when that happened, you got that new life. Look at verse 22 in this same chapter. But every man, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ. My heart goes out for those folks that think their religion can give them life. And they spend their whole life, not so much in America, though it happens here, but in some of those other countries, they spend their whole life going through all kinds of creeds and all kinds of following all kinds of rules and statutes and do all kinds of things. I mean, crazy things, trying to please God, believing it will get them into heaven. And life is in Christ. It's not in those things. It's not in those places. There's a gulf of separation between a lost person and a saved person, and that gulf is faith in Jesus Christ. We can't cross that gulf until we put our faith and trust in Him and we get a new life. And here's the capstone. This is the last point, verse 49. We've got in verse 45 a new lesson. In verse 46, a new list. In verse 47, a new Lord. In verse 48, a new life. Here's verse 49. If it can get any better than those, a new likeness. A new likeness. Verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall. I like those words. We shall also bear the image. We also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Right now, we're bearing the image of the earthly. Everybody in here is bearing the image of Adam. We have different heights, different body builds, different hair colors, different eye color, different structure, body thickness. But you know what? We're all the same. We're all made in the earthy. One of these days, this same group of people could possibly get together in heaven, and man, is it going to be different. We're going to put off this earthly tabernacle that we dwell in right now, and we're going to meet together in a heavenly body, in a new likeness. Right now, we have the likeness of Adam. One of these days, a different likeness, and let me show you what it is as we close. First John chapter 3. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, back by the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. We are going to trade in this defaced
image of God, for the true likeness of God. We're going to be designed like Adam was designed before he fell in the garden. That body back there that in the garden used to walk with the Lord in the cool of the evening, that had fellowship with God, that body designed for fellowship with God was defaced. But one of these days we're going to put it back on. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Right now we're children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. It's not that they don't know who you are. They just don't know who you are. They don't understand you. They can't comprehend it. You're at church on a Sunday night when it's dark out and cold out, and you could be sitting home in your house and watching television and eating some chips and drinking pot. I'm going too far now. You could be home doing something different, but you chose on this Sunday evening with the warnings out there, 2 to 4, 1 to 3 inches of snow by tomorrow. You chose to be here. You know what most people that I used to run around with, you know what most of my friends would say? You're nuts. What's happened to you? They don't understand that change. That's what he said in verse number 1. The world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're the children of God right now. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Those are the words I like. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. You don't understand it. You don't comprehend it. I can sit up here and talk all night and try to describe you that resurrection body, that glorified body, and I would not begin to be able to explain it to you. It's beyond our wildest imagination. Paul went up there and saw it, I believe, and came back and said there are words that I couldn't even utter. I couldn't even give you a description of what I saw when I was up there. It was so glorious and so wonderful. Our human vocabulary, our body designed for this life, can't explain what it looks like up there. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, that's our resurrection, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. You know, Christ is up there in a resurrected body. He came down. He died on the cross. He bore our sins. He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again. Resurrected body. He wasn't a resurrected spirit. He told Thomas, reach hither thy finger and stick it in my hands. Stick out your hand and put it in my side. Be not faithless, but believe it. It was a human body. He sat down around the fire with His disciples and ate food with them. It was a body. It was a resurrected body. But it wasn't like the body we've got right now. It wasn't even like the body that He came out of Mary's womb with. And I can't understand all that, but I just know it. It does not yet appear what we shall be. If you're saved tonight, you got better things in store. If you're saved tonight, you've got the resurrection, and that body you got right now, though, you value it and you treasure it, and you ought to. You want to keep it alive as long as you can. You're going to trade it in one of these days. You're going to crawl into that little silk shack and wait till you see what comes out the other side. When those wings spread full bloom. When you get that resurrection body in heaven, boy, you know what I think some of you might do? You're going to come up to me and say, preacher, you were right. There's no words to describe this body I've got right now. But if you're lost, if you're without Jesus Christ, all that stuff isn't for you. You don't get any of it. You don't get any of it. The body you got is going to decay and die and go to the ground. And it's going to stay there, and your soul is going to continue going down into the center of the earth. You're going to miss out on all this stuff. You know what Paul said when he thought about that? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. See, for those of us that are saved and born again, you can't imagine what it's going to be like over there. If you're lost, you can't imagine. You can understand it. You know what pain and suffering are all about. You know what weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what fire is all about. You can understand that. But for the saved, going to that place, we ought to walk around every day, not with our noses up in the air because of what we've got, but walk every day with the assurance that we're children of God. And that one of these days, the resurrection is going to happen, hopefully before we die. I'd like it to happen before we have to go through death's door.
But if we don't, and our body dies, and we go to be with the Lord, we're looking forward to a glorious resurrection. One we don't know all the facts and information about, don't have all the statistics down. But it's going to happen because the Bible says so. A wonderful resurrection. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.